Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, rainy Monday morning. Monday, April the 1st, April Fool's Day, 2024, 15 minutes past the hour, 46 degrees and light rain in the Marion area. Now, hope everybody had a wonderful Easter. It was kind of nice because we kept hearing that we were going to get rain on Easter. Saturday was certainly rainy. Oh, the phones are already ringing here this morning. Maybe they're ringing. Hold on. Stick with me here. I think we might have a phone issue going on. Stay with me. Go ahead, caller.
There's more than light rain on Main Street.
There's about
3 feet of water on Main Street, and they're figuring by noon they're going to open up Main Street to trout fishing.
Well, you know, that's going to be a lot of activity down there because this Monday will be trout fishing, and next Monday I believe everything's shut down for the eclipse.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? We are going to have to wait an extra, 2 weeks? Because City Council, I'm pretty sure City Council will not be in session.
Well, it's my understanding, now this could change between now and then, but it's my understanding they're going to try to meet on Tuesday next week.
That
could change between here and there, but that's the last I heard.
Well, that would be nice, but I think I hope they make a public announcement and get it published in the Marion paper. Otherwise, oops. No pun intended with the solar eclipse, but they'd be in violation of the sunshine law.
Well, this is true. I think they did send out, let me double check here because I know I got the announcement, so I'm sure the Star got it because I know Torino works very hard to make sure all those things go out. I know I did get something last week on that. But while I look for this, did you hear Jason Schaber on Friday?
Yeah. Well, I only was able to hear the first 15 minutes. I had to go out in that. But I think he raises some damn good questions. Questions that need to be answered. There's too much fluffing over. Nobody presses people to come up with answers. And that goes with the administration or non-administration. Point being, can or can't do. You know, there were questions raised, nothing was answered, and it was just like, throwing paint on a sheet of plastic and watching it just kind of drip off. People don't ask enough fundamental questions. I mean, one fundamental question would be, ask for somebody's credentials. Why is Mike Bodine in the position he's in? Why is Gus Comstock in the position he's in?
Well,
people are just, it's like ambassadorships. If you put a half a million or $1 million into the presidential campaign, hey, we're going to give you an ambassadorship. Where would you like to live for the next 4 years during my administration? And that undermines everybody in the diplomatic corps. People who have studied their whole lives to understand a country and know that country. And here you have some some idiot that's given millions of dollars to a presidential campaign, and now he's in there, doesn't know what the hell to do other than smile and nod his head yes or whatever, you know?
Well, it's very interesting because the Bodine thing really got discussed on Friday morning, because as we were going through these invoices that you and I went through last week on the air, it is interesting now, and I had just overlooked it on the invoice, that under the over $4,000 to wallpaper his office, it does say that the design that is being used was produced by his company. And also, apparently, and again, I don't know this for sure, I think Jason said that it was his understanding that for every thing that was ordered with that particular logo, the person who designed the logo would also receive some kind of a kickback on that, which is legal, but not maybe if you're the service director. And then also...
Well, that's not legal. I mean, you know, the bottom line is he's making $90-some thousand dollars a year. Everybody before him, that was enough of a job. Number one, he's not qualified. As far as I've seen, he's not qualified for that position. And here he is doing things that's really not associated with that position of service director. And I question whether he even has any experience in contracts. So, you know, and who came up with the great idea? Oh, we need to rebrand Marion. No, we don't. We need to get people who know what the hell they're doing, you know?
Well, it's and I just want to let people know that I did find it here. Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, 6:30 is still the time for the city council meeting. So Tuesday,
next Monday's council meeting is pushed to Tuesday the 9th.
Yes, because of the eclipse. Okay. Now, the interesting thing is that with Bodine, and again, I don't know any of this to be sure, but I think it's very interesting that also we found out on Friday morning. Now, this we found out from one of our listeners anonymously, but provided the information that he is also currently working on Republicans' campaigns for this fall while he's the service director as well.
Gee whiz. You know, that guy, he must be a big brain. If he can handle everything that the service director is doing and do this and do that, my God, are we in the presence of a genius?
Well, you know, it's very interesting to me because and again, this is not a shot toward him at all, but I really don't know how you would work on campaign designs. I don't know how you would work on the logos and whatever you needed to do to fix City Hall or revamp City Hall, however they want to say it. Be the service director, which is a full-time position, salary, and also be doing... apparently over $40,000 worth of work for Can Do every year. So it's just I just in the practicality.
My understanding is it was a contractual agreement for a certain period of time for that $43,000 in addition to his $90-some thousand that the taxpayers are paying him. And I would think that someone would have a conscience to think, gee whiz, I think I need to devote all of my time to the taxpayers, you know?
Oh, and I do want to answer this question as well, because this came up last week about how long does somebody have to respond to a public information request or records request. The actual answer is prompt inspection or copies with a reasonable period of time. There is no predetermined time for responding to a public records request. If the requester wants to inspect records, the records must be promptly prepared for inspection. So there really is no predetermined.
Where did you get that from?
That came from somebody down in City Hall who has nothing to do with any of this. It's just the...
I would suggest that you go to the Attorney General's office. Look on their website. I saw for public Meetings Act. I forget exactly what the acronym or the initials are, but for a records request, the information needs to be readily available, because it should be. If they're doing proper record keeping and everything according to the Ohio Revised Code, a person should be able to come in and be specific about what it is they want so it can be retrieved, and there may or may not be a charge associated with retrieval of that information.
Well, this, this I believe, does come from Dave Yost, because there's a lot to this, but basically it says there are some statutes here. It's all about interpretation, basically. And if the requester wants copies of records, the public office must produce the records in a reasonable period of time. But again, what is a reasonable period of time? The reasonableness of the response time depends on the facts and circumstances of the particular request. These terms do not mean immediately or without moments delay.
Again, it all the city of Marion had everything organized, computerized to the point where it really should be. And I don't know about their standards. I mean, that's why we have a problem right now in the auditor's office with all of that big snafu from Landrum, possibly before Landrum, but certainly exacerbated by Landrum. We shouldn't have these problems if we had the proper people in there and proper software and or the proper people who understand the software to make things run smoothly.
Well, it is interesting right now, because when next Tuesday's council meeting comes about, because as I said to Jason on Friday morning, I've said, we understand you don't have any faith in the auditor. We've taken that vote. Every Monday, she's ridiculed for that. We understand that. Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong. That's their opinion, and that's based on the facts that they have. But at some point, is anybody going to look toward the administration in regard to this whole Bodine situation? And I would have to guess yes at some point, because now it's more than just the can-do money. It's running campaigns. It's this whole wallpapering thing. It's his company.
Well, you know, it's like that saying I mentioned last week. Let the fox in the chicken coop. You're going to have chicken for dinner every night. How arrogant. And I got to believe that's the proper word. How arrogant. Somebody comes in there, doesn't have a background in politics. They come in and they automatically spend obscene amounts of money decorating their office. That's just ridiculous. Now, if they did it on their own dime, hey, fine, more power to them. But it's the taxpayers' money. The taxpayers' money. My understanding is they're taking it from the Capital Improvement Fund?
That's my understanding.
I question, is that legal or not? It seems as though the Capital Improvement Fund is exactly what's expressed in its name, capital improvements. How on this planet or any other planet can redecorating an office be considered a capital improvement?
I think the reasoning is because the mayor is allowed to do that, and the mayor would say this is not redecorating of an office, this is a capital improvement by branding our city in a new way, which is what this wallpaper and decals and all this is about.
Well, how much traffic's going to be going through their offices, you know? It's one thing to have signage and things where the general public can see. I wonder how much money was come up Well, we know the Community Foundation spent like $10,000 to come up with Marion Maid. Now, what does that mean? Is that Marion, Indiana, North Carolina? I think there's another. There are many Marions around this country. Oh, was that money well spent? Now we have Love Your City.
Well, and also
on the control box to the lights at the intersection of State Street and Center Street by United Church Homes. Love Your City. And they have the Cardinal there. Isn't that just wonderful?
Well, I think what people would say, and although another question came up about Love Our City, apparently Jason Schauber told me that there was some kind of copyright issue with that, although it seems as though they've gotten that worked out, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I'll give a freebie to those who are listening and maybe listening in power. You know, wouldn't it make more sense, Marion, comma, O-H, exclamation point. Marion, O-H, the initial for Ohio. It says where you are instead of Marion Maid. Which state is that in, you know?
Well,
Marion, O-H.
You know what I think a lot of this comes down to is I think people are not okay with a lot of this stuff going on, but very few will say something. Now, the ones that
Everybody's afraid to tell the emperor, you ain't got no clothes on, man.
Well, yeah, but
that other people that are in business, they'll think less of me and they won't buy from me because I'm being contrary. Or, you know, it's constructive criticism that moves things forward. Constructive criticism.
Well, I guess the interesting thing is, and if we go back to January, when the whole deal went down with the auditor and she being offered a position in the transit department and then deciding not to go there, and she came on and told her story as to why that happened. Now, whether or not that was anything of any importance, I don't remember. I think Ayers Ratliff asked at one point, I don't even know if he asked, I think he said at one point that something had went down there. Mayor Schertzer did ask on his last day what were the circumstances surrounding that deal. But other than that, once Miranda came on and talked about it, I never heard anybody question Bill Collins about it in a public meeting. I never heard anything more about it. Now, I can understand that there's a lot of issues going on with the auditor, and that's understandable, but I don't know why it was never asked.
I'm out of the loop on that with what you were talking about. So,
well, it's just that, you know, Miranda, late last year, after she was elected in November, said that she would not, there was no circumstances under which she would resign her position. Then 2 weeks later, she resigned her position, or said she was going to resign effective early January. We could not figure out why this was. Then she rescinded her resignation the night before she was to resign. And then she came on and told us basically that Bill and other people in the, I believe Jason Schauber was in the room, but basically Bill asked her or offered her the transit job to leave the auditor's job. And what you really can't do, you can't go to an elected official and say, do this for that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's the auditor said during that interview that she felt pressured. And when she told Bill that she was rescinding her resignation, I think the term that she used was that he seemed like an angry dad. He was not happy. Now, nobody ever questioned this. I don't know that it ever went anywhere. So I guess, you know, within 30 days later, when they're getting their decals and they're doing their wallpapering and They've got somebody in a position that has three different jobs, at least that we know. Well, I bet they figure nobody's going to question that either.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, there was such hope. But my problem with Collins running for mayor, he suckled at the teat of the taxpayer as a police officer. Fine, wonderful. Becomes chief of police. Fine, great. Then he becomes, chief deputy at the sheriff's department. Again, suckling at the teat of the taxpayer. And then, out of nowhere, decides to run for mayor, suckling again at the teat of the taxpayer. We've got to change this. We've got to get to a city charter, and we've got to be in charge of the destiny of our community. We owe that, or any administration or people in public office, owe that to the taxpayers. And the taxpayers need to rise up and vote. They need to demand more return on their tax dollar investment instead of getting constantly nickeled and dimed, you know?
Well, it's going to be interesting on the long haul, because a lot of this stuff with Bodine has come to light since last Monday's city council meeting. And I do wonder what the pressure will be on that, because as I said to Jason on Friday, I am not the auditor's spokesperson, but we have heard your problems with her. We understand council's problems with her. We get it. We understand that you feel she's not competent in the job. A matter of fact, there have been resolutions that passed that say you have no confidence in her. We get it. We're aware. And until something happens, whether you get a committee going to try to fix the problems and possibly get rid of her, or whether the prosecutor's investigation results in something that would remove her from office or charge her with something, do we really need to keep beating that dead horse? We're aware how you feel about the auditor. We get it. We know you feel she's incompetent. We get it. But is anybody ever going to ask questions of the administration?
Well, I'm hoping you're going to show up there on the 9th and ask that question and many other questions.
Well,
see if there are answers.
Well, and I do
up with the answer.
Well, I do believe that there are people on city council who do have these questions. I just wonder if they feel it's a lost cause because city council has one Democrat on it, and one person being Jason Schauber, who tends not to vote party lines. And I have to say, Mr. Rollins, I've seen him vote outside party lines as well. But when you only have three, what are you going to do?
Well, you just have to keep working at it. It's how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time. And, we just need more people to take 1 hour, only 1 hour a week, out of their daily activities to arm yourself with information about what's going on, or every 2 weeks, give 1 hour. Go up to city council, participate. Let them know, let council know, and the administration, hey, the natives are getting restless.
Well,
here's a little thing. Here's a tiny thing that is costing, I'm sure, a lot of money. We pay for street lights, whether they work or they don't work. Several years ago, I talked with Randy Carrier. They passed special legislation since he didn't live in Marion, the city, or the county, so he could be the service director. I suggested, the cops on second shift, why can't they, just make a little note, hey, lights out here. When they're patrolling around our city, making sure everything's secure, hey, there's a overhead street light out over here. at the end of the shift, turn that in, let Ohio Edison or whoever the party is know that they're lights. We pay for them on or off. And, well, they're too busy, et cetera, et cetera. That's a crock. You know, what does it take? You're cruising around, making sure the city's secure. And I would think it would be one of the things very important that we have those lights, because lights tend to deter thieves, you know? Something very fundamental like that, and it's overlooked.
We're getting a message from one of the listeners out there this morning who says the natives are the ones who voted for the mess we're in.
Only those natives. We didn't hear from the natives who didn't vote or send up a smoke signal.
Well, they were certainly the majority, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. This past election, we have, 20-some thousand registered voters and not even 4,000 people voted?
Yeah, I believe that's true.
Yeah, something like that. I don't think I'm off too far. But, you know, people got to get up and vote. And I encourage people, look, if you say your non-voting is a protest vote, well, it's not counted. Go. If you're not even going to vote for somebody, don't choose anybody. Just cast your ballot blank. You voted. But more importantly, you've honored the veterans who have died for you to have your right to vote. Don't vote for anybody if you don't want them, but at least get up off your butt, go cast a blank ballot, and honor those veterans who died for your right to vote.
Well, and I think what's interesting is I wonder, I don't know if it's lack of interest in the city. I really don't know if that's what's happening. I think more of what's happening is lack of knowledge. Now, we can go back on the media and say the media doesn't exist anymore, but to be honest with you, it has been, oh man, at least 20 years since the Marion Star had a full staff, and kids are not reading the Marion Star, and by kids I'm talking about anybody under the age of 30. They're not reading it even if it is printed, which is a whole other issue.
I'm offended. You consider, say that kids are under the age of what? Under 30?
30. I don't think the college...
Oh, wow. We, man.
Yeah,
so
well...
I have to wait till I'm 31 to be an adult, in your opinion?
You got to wait till 31. I don't think that age category is reading newspapers. And honestly, on the internet, so much of the things I read on the internet from these alleged news sites about Marion, they don't have any news training, so they don't really tell you the truth. They tell you what somebody heard or what they heard off a scanner or what they got in a press release.
They're not journalists.
No, and so I don't know how anybody is supposed to know anything, because it's very, very difficult and has been for the last 20 years. And we've had bumps in the road. I don't know that the bumps have been this big, but I think a lot of people honestly look at this situation and they go, well, good for this guy for being entrepreneurial and making all the money he can make.
Well, information is so fragmented. You've got this stream, you've got this avenue, you've got this, you've got that. Oh, good grief. Where do you get the straightforward, the day a car ran into a chicken and a turkey popped out of its mouth? Next news item. Everything is editorializing. Everybody's got an opinion. No, let's be balanced and fair. Let's tell this side of the story, that side of the story, and let the public decide for themselves. The media, by and large, wants to tell the public what to think, not to think about the information presented to them so that they can make a better informed decision.
Well, and I also know for sure, and this is also a change in the last 20 years, that the political parties here in Marion make it a concerted effort to not talk to the media. And here's my big question, is that if, okay, let's just go to this Bodine issue because this is what we're talking about. Okay, well, there are people who have been vocal. Now, it's the minority on city council, but there have been people who have been vocal about this issue. Now, the other eight who sit up there and say nothing, why does nobody ever question them? You know, they go back and forth with the people who are questioning it, but nobody ever looks at the other eight people and says, do you have any problem with this?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's been that way. I started going to council back in 77 or 8, and I stopped going because I found it, if I wanted to become bulimic, I would go to a council meeting. But I didn't want to become bulimic, and I didn't go anymore. But then, for me in particular, the reason I got involved was, I'm fed up with can-do. Out of nowhere, they hire Bodine to do this and that, and I had been lobbying way back as far as Larry Brown when he was in can-do. And then, when I came back, what's his name? Dave Claiborne. Then he's gone. Then Craig Thompson. Lobbied Craig Thompson. Lobbied Gus. Gus gets $10,000, runs down to Columbus, spends $10,000 on a minute, 15-second video, which is outrageous. Not as much as a, hey, Terry, I've got $10,000. What can we do? Here's what I'd like to do. Is that possible? What do you think? I could have given so much value to that amount of money.
Now, do you think a lot of this, though, is personality conflict? Because what I've noticed in Marion, and it's sure it's true in other places, is that people's personal feelings tend to get in the way of people doing business. You know, I was told years ago, almost 10 years ago now, when we started to do this radio station, and obviously it's been successful, we're still here 10 years later, but when we started, I remember going to supporters in the beginning, approaching them, because you got to have supporters to stay on the air, and I remember, and I don't want to say the person's name because I think they're still there, with a very representing, not an owner of a business, but somebody who represented a very big organization here in Marion that gave a lot of money to the media, and we approached them about supporting us just like any other, and they said to me on the telephone, their marketing person told me, who I had dealt with in the past, that it wasn't their audience because we had too many old people on the air. Now, where did they end up spending those marketing dollars? I have no idea. But what an answer to get.
Well, you know, here's the problem. It goes A through Z, the whole spectrum. There are too many people that are put in a position they have no business being put in because they did a good job at their original position. And someone said, hey, they'd be good doing this. So, hey, a little bit of money, put them into another position. There are too many people running around. A lot of them have great, wonderful intentions. They just don't know how to handle the position they've been placed in. And it's almost like putting somebody in a position to fail. And that's a major shortcomings that happens throughout Marion, and it's not just Marion, it's all over the place.
Well, you know, I've often thought...
That's why education, and I mean, you're in education. That's why it is so important to continually educate people, particularly in those various disciplines that they've been put in.
Well, it's interesting because at the time that incident I just spoke about happened, I didn't get angry. I just thought about it, and I thought, now, what... I thought to myself, okay, let's say you believe that. Let's say you feel that the people hosting shows on this station, and that's what they were referring to, we're too old for their demographic. Okay, let's say that you believe that. Okay, you're in Marion, we're in Marion. Why not, if you support a Marion business, which is certainly what we were, why wouldn't you, just for 6 months, a year, you know, put a little bit of money in there and see how it goes? Let's see if you do get any return on that. And that will help a Marion business. It's certainly not going to hurt you because it's not coming out of your pocket because you don't own that business. And let's see if your theory is correct. Do the hosts being too old not see any return for you? By the way, what's your return on any other business that's listening? You know, that was something else that went through my mind. So, yeah, you know,
hard to measure.
Yeah. So I never really understood it. And again, but I think that's a personality conflict.
Another way to look at things. I got asked by people all the time, can you do a video for us for free? I've done so many things for free, from groups, organizations. Nobody's ever given me a referral for a paying job. And I got to the point, I don't do anything for free. I'll do it for a highly discounted rate, but I'm not going to do it for free because nobody appreciates it. But the most important thing is, and somebody told me, you keep doing stuff for free. And I said, you know, it's not always about money. It's about goodwill. And I would think that that individual company or whatever you're talking about should have just, for goodwill, sponsored something, you know?
Well, it was shocking just to me because they had sponsored a lot of other things in radio and the newspaper at that time, 10 years ago. And what's interesting to me on the whole is that the more successful you get, now I can't say this is with everybody, but the more successful you get, the more other people's ego becomes involved and they feel put off by you, I guess, because...
maybe intimidated is a better word.
I guess.
They're insecure.
Right. And maybe that's what it is. And you know what? You can't fix personality disorders. But the problem is that on the whole, is anybody looking over these people's shoulders to see what they're doing? Probably not, with the money that's been entrusted to them. And I don't, you know what I don't understand in Marion, and again, I'm sure it's true in other, I don't want to just say it's Marion because I don't think it is, but I believe that most people have good intentions. I don't think that Mr. Bodine or Mayor Collins have bad intentions at all. I don't think they do. I think they see a decent way to make money. I don't think they believe there's a conflict there. I think that that's what this is all about. And I think sometimes people question their character, and that's where it becomes personal. Now, I don't think...
Well, I don't think it necessarily becomes personal when you question somebody's character. You have to realize people are creatures of habit. Their past performances kind of lead toward what their future performance is going to be. And you therefore have to kind of keep an eye on them, being aware of their past history so that we don't see that repeated in the future.
Well, and maybe some of this will work. I don't know. You know, Mayor Collins has only been in 4 months today. So, well, really three. When you add it all up.
Well, let's be realistic. He's been in City Hall for a very, very long time. He's been around the whole runnings of City Hall for a very, very long time. And I think he's pushing the envelope and hoping to get away with some things. And I don't know. Bottom line is there are more important things than redecorating, rebranding Marion. I mean, are we trying to sell Marion? The whole idea of branding is to sell something. It's all marketing to sell something. Rebranding going to sell us to a company to come in and move or expand to Marion? I don't think so.
Well, I will say this, and the final note on this, I will say years ago, and I don't remember who it was, it hasn't been all that long ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and it wasn't Bill Collins at the time, it was somebody involved in law enforcement, and I want to say it was the police chief at that time, which was not Bill Collins, but I'm trying to remember who it was. I don't remember. May have been McDonald, to be honest with you. I'm not sure. But I do remember.
McDonald's only been the police chief. It hasn't been that long.
Well, since Collins. So it's been at least since 2020.
Well, after Collins, it was.
Yeah. So the last 4 years. So if it's been 2 years ago, it possibly could have been. But it also could have been Bales. I can't remember, but I'm going to say it's the police chief, and if it's not, somebody will correct me. But I remember asking them at one point, you know, what is the problem in general with Marion when it comes to crime? And this is why I remember it was a law enforcement person, because we were talking about crime. And they said, yes, Marion has crime, just like all other communities have crime, but Marion's problem is not a crime problem. It's a self-esteem problem.
Yes.
So
that was him.
Yeah. So I believe that branding is what that's intended to fix, in my guess.
Well, you know, I'm looking for the letter to the editor I wrote regarding that statement of self-esteem, and I found it. Just opening it up here. But I thought, this was back, I don't know when, anyways, it was Law Day, is when McDonald said that. And my letter was, this year Law Day was held a week early to accommodate the keynote speaker, the chief of police. He stated, Marion has a self-esteem problem. The article was reprinted in last Sunday's Columbus Dispatch. You can see how this is snowballing, but with Gannett's network, possibly the whole country now knows Marion, Ohio has a self-esteem problem. I'm wondering how this affects the efforts of the people who are trying to make Marion a workforce capital by creating a skilled, ready-to-get-to-work labor force right out of high school. The efforts of Tri-Rivers Career Center, Ramtech, Marion Technical College, and The Ohio State University have leadership breaking their backs to build, strengthen, and revitalize our community, Marion, Ohio. And the people who tirelessly work to overcome the challenges being faced to try to make our community, Marion, Ohio, a better place to live. How will this affect the prospective business looking to relocate or expand in Marion? If the chief of police is ever a keynote speaker again, he should make sure his brain is engaged before putting his mouth into gear.
It's an interesting, babe, we got a break coming up, but it's an interesting point.
Well, I'm going to get out of here. I'm sure you got people that like to call in and give their point of views, etc. So thank you, and we'll talk later.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, we've got about a minute and a half here before the break, 740-751-4038. We can get your calls on the other side of the break as well. Do want to remind people, well, I don't think I got to this morning, but I hope everybody had a great Easter. I had a very nice one. The flyer this morning from McDonald's, free Big Mac with a minimum $15 purchase April 1st through April the 8th, and I believe that's Marion Mount Gilead Road here. All right, I think we have another call coming in here. All right, with a minute to go, go ahead.
Hey, Scott, just a quick response.
Go ahead.
On all that chatter.
Yes.
No municipality the size of Marion has the supercomputer that can retrieve data and documents some people think, you know, those are Hollywood computers. Marion doesn't have $30 million to spend on these supercomputers to retrieve invoices and other bits of information that people want from time to time. It doesn't exist. And even if it did exist, you know, the government has to buy the lowest cost, you know, bids and so forth, and it doesn't happen. Your last caller is calling from Hollywood. That doesn't exist.
And on that note, here comes the break. Thank you.
All right.
Here comes the break. We'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't you dare flip that dial. Get your dialing finger ready. 740-751-403.
You're listening to The Place for the Best Guests and Talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice...